This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Louisiana Republican Senator David Vitter. We want to get his reaction to a report on the explosion at the Deepwater Horizon rig back in April. This one filed by BP, which takes some of the blame but also spreads a good chunk of it around. We also want to get his reaction to how another accident on a platform last week in the Gulf of Mexico could impact his effort, among others, to lift the drilling moratorium in the Gulf of Mexico imposed by the Obama administration. And speaking of the president, we want to get the senator's thoughts on what the president has articulated as his economic goals this fall. And, Senator, it's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Greg. Great to be with you.
Let's start with your home territory there along the Gulf of Mexico. Obviously, this oil spill has been the major story for you and your constituents throughout this year. What do you make of this report from BP, which takes some of the blame but also puts a lot of it on Halliburton, on Transocean, and others who were involved with the process of putting together this drilling platform?
Well, Greg, I had two reactions. First of all, it certainly confirms what's pretty obvious by now, that the folks involved, led by BP, made not just one mistake, but a string of really bad mistakes and conscious bad judgments. And so it wasn't just one misstep, it was a string of irresponsible mistakes. Secondly, you know, the notion that a lot of other parties are just as responsible, I think, quite frankly, is overblown. I'm not saying they're blameless, but I think BP is trying to shift the blame to others, and I take that with a grain of salt.
Obviously, it's been almost a couple of months now since the oil well has been plugged. There's no longer oil spewing into the Gulf of Mexico. But in terms of their other commitments of cleanup and paying people who have lost money due to the businesses being affected by all this, how would you grade their efforts?
Well, I think it's too early to tell, quite frankly. I think we're only going to know that over the long haul. They need to be here and pay all the damages, everything they created, and do it in a timely way. And so I don't think we're going to get a very good picture of how sincere their commitment is to do that until, you know, over the next year, really.
Senator, also, as I mentioned in the introduction, there was an explosion on a different facility out in the Gulf. This one, of course, did not trigger a massive oil spill, but some suggest now that this could impact your efforts, and I know you're teaming with a lot of other people, to have this drilling moratorium lifted. Do you see this having a major impact?
I hope not, but it very could well hurt our chances in Washington because there are so many folks there, quite frankly, including in the Obama administration, who don't want to base decisions on facts, on reality, but on emotion and scare tactics. And that's what I'm concerned about. And obviously, in that context, this second explosion didn't help. Thank God nobody was killed. Thank God there's no oil flow. But in terms of folks up in Washington who want to use those sorts of scare tactics, it obviously doesn't help.
Do we know for certainty what happened on this later incident?
We don't yet. There's still a lot of fact-finding going on. Certainly, I haven't seen any bottom-line conclusions yet.
Well, we're talking with Louisiana Senator David Vitter. And, Senator, the president, of course, is taking a strong campaign-style approach to the economy. He started on Labor Day proposing another $50 billion effort in spending. He won't call it a stimulus, but a lot of other people are, specifically aimed at infrastructure. Today he's in Ohio rolling out a plan to allow tax breaks to businesses for their growth and expansion, while also promising to preserve the Bush tax cuts except for the wealthiest of Americans. What do you make of his economic strategy here?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head when you called it a campaign strategy. I think it's more of a campaign swing than a serious economic strategy, unfortunately. I have two substantive reactions. First of all, if dropping taxpayer dollars out of helicopters was the solution, we'd have a very strong, robust economy now because that wasted a huge amount of taxpayer dollars through the stimulus. Secondly, you know, the idea of these targeted tax incentives is pretty ridiculous when at the same time he's threatening major tax increases on job producers. And so we need to extend all of the current rates, not just some of the current rates, or that big tax increase that would otherwise occur would have a major impact, a negative impact on the economy. So that's job one, it seems to me, before more government spending and before these targeted, with plenty of strings attached, tax credits.
Senator, one of the things the president said today in trying to contrast his agenda with what he perceives as the Republican agenda is that while Republicans are towing the line when it comes to adding to the deficits on some of these other spending bills, whether it's for teachers and firefighters or for unemployment benefits and so forth, that Republicans are insisting on no additional deficits. But he says these extended tax cuts wouldn't be paid for. How do you respond to that?
Well, Greg, I think it's comparing apples to oranges. You know, letting Americans keep their money is not the same as justifying an expansion of government spending. And I think that's particularly true when we're only talking about keeping the present tax rates in place. We're not talking about any additional cuts. We're talking about keeping the present tax rates in place. Now, if we have to pay for keeping the present tax rates in place every year, every other year, that's a recipe for disaster. It's a recipe for eventual significant tax increases. So I don't think we should have to quote-unquote pay for that, because it's about Americans keeping their own money, and it's about our simply keeping the present tax rates in place.
Senator, one more question before we let you go. If, in fact, the president gets his way, particularly on this top tax bracket where the tax cuts would be allowed to expire, what impact would that have on the business owners in your state as you talk to them? What are they telling you?
They're telling me they're scared to death and they're sitting on their hands. And these are people who aren't sipping pina coladas on a beach. These are people who own small businesses, who own family farms, who are investors and entrepreneurs and potential job creators. But with that sort of threat, they're sitting on their hands for obvious reasons. And that's the biggest factor in my mind holding back economic recovery.
Senator, unfortunately, we're out of time. As always, sir, very grateful to you for spending some time with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Louisiana Republican Senator David Vitter. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.